and trust Him to take care of it. I can just see Him stand back and smile and just, wow, they trust me. Faith amazes Jesus. Faithfulness amazes Jesus. Faithfulness is a very important part of the Christian life. Hey, when our lives are over on this earth and we see Jesus face to face one day, and we did everything we were supposed to do and we lived our life how the Lord wanted us to live, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Our faith amazes Jesus. Hey, troubles are going to come. We spoke about that this morning in Sunday school. Troubles and trials will come into our life. But the faith that we have amazes Jesus. We need to have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all the people in the Bible who had faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes throughout the whole chapter. By faith, Moses did this. And by faith, Joseph did this. And it speaks about all the people in the Bible who had struggles and who had problems and trials. But they put faith in the Lord. They put faith in the Lord. Faith amazes Jesus. You know, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please Him. Hey, faith is not just one way to please God. Faith is the only way to please God. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Say, well, Brother Donald, I want to please God. How do I get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get in that book. Hey, get under the preaching of God's man. Hey, that's what will give you faith. And asking God for faith. Our faith amazes Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, we saw the centurion's great faith. Well, look down in verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Verse 25 of Matthew 8. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Even those who followed right behind Jesus and were around Jesus all the time and saw all the great things that Jesus did didn't have the faith they needed. This centurion had more faith than Jesus' own disciples. Our faith amazes Jesus Christ. It amazes Him. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 17. When's the last time you amazed Jesus? When's the last time you amazed Jesus? Faith was the first one that amazed you. Luke 17. Luke 17 will begin in verse 12. And it says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Second thing I see in God's word that amazed Jesus was thankfulness. Thankfulness amazes Jesus. Our thankfulness, our gratefulness amazes Jesus. You know, today the world is very ungrateful. Even in my own life, all the things the Lord's blessed me with, still I find myself once in a while complaining about things. But I really have no reason to complain. But it's just a generation of ungratefulness. Not thankful for all that we have. And we lose sight of all that we do have. Hey, when's the last time you truly thanked the Lord Jesus Christ? I know that we'll pray over meals. Lord, thank you for this meal and all those other good things. But when's the last time you took time and set it apart to just thank God for all that He's given you? And thank Him for your health. And thank Him for this country. When's the last time we thanked Him? For everything. Man, I can think of a time in my life. September 9th, 2001, and I've given my testimony before, but still it's so real to me on September 9th, 2001, as an 11-year-old boy. I knew I was on my way to hell, and I knew that the Lord loved me enough to die for me. And that day, I got up on Sunday morning service, went to the altar, prayed, and the Lord saved my soul. That is something that I can be thankful for. That is something that I can be thankful for. Hey, I have a beautiful wife and a healthy baby boy that I can be thankful for. I have a wonderful church in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and the churches that I've had the privilege to be a part of and the college I got to go to. Man, I have a lot to be thankful for. I have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. The Bible says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. The will of God. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for. We have so much to thank Him for. So much to thank for. And our thankfulness amazes Jesus Christ. Hey, that song I just sung, the middle of it, it goes, when I think of what He's done, and God has done so much for us. He's done so much for me, and He's done so much for all of us. But that next line, to think of what He's done and where He's brought me from. Folks, I grew up in a Christian home, in a great home and in Christian schools, and the Lord truly blessed me with that. Hey, I didn't have to worry about coming home to drugs or to drinking or to smoking. I wasn't around those things. But I'll tell you, I still was stuck in the miry clay. And the Lord took my feet and set them on a solid rock, and that is something that I can be thankful for, and that is where the Lord brought me from. And that's something I'm thankful for. Our thankfulness amazes Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. When's the last time you amazed Jesus? Our faithfulness amazes Jesus. Our thankfulness amazes Jesus. In the Mark chapter 6, we'll see the last thing that I believe I've seen in the Bible that amazes Jesus. Mark chapter 6. And it says this in verse 1. And He went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto Him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And He could do there no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Verse 6. And He marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. The last thing that I found in God's Word that amazed Jesus was nothing good, but it was unbelief. Jesus came into His own country where He grew up, where people knew Him, where people probably even took care of Him as a young boy, and He came and began to teach and preach. And they were offended at Him. They were offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just trying to help and do what He had been doing. And they were offended at Him. And the Bible says He could do there no mighty work because of their unbelief. And He was amazed at their unbelief. Amazed at their unbelief. Even in our church, say, you know why God can't do things in the churches of America sometimes? Is because we don't believe. We don't believe. John chapter 11. Let's turn over to John 11. John chapter 11. Their unbelief amazed Jesus. John chapter 11. We see in this chapter in verse 1 of John 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore His sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. Lazarus was sick, and they sent word to tell the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, Lazarus is sick, can you please come and heal him? Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's the first time in John 11 that the Lord said that Lazarus will not die. He said, Lazarus, this sickness is not nigh unto death. He tells them clearly, Lazarus will not die. We go on there. Verse 6. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. The Lord knew what was going on. Look at verse 11. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then it said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. 14, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. That's the third time in John 11 that the Lord says that Lazarus will not die. Lazarus will rise again. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days already, dead. We see going on in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Fourth time in this chapter that the Lord says, Lazarus will live again. Four times so far. Verse 25, the Lord says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's another time he says it. Let's move on. Verse 32. Skip ahead. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. In John 11:35, we all know the verse. It says, Jesus wept. We know the rest of the story. The Lord does raise Lazarus from the dead. But I don't believe that Jesus wept because he was sad that Lazarus was dead. Why would Jesus be sad that Lazarus is dead if he had said 5 times he was going to raise him again? No. Jesus wept because of their unbelief. 5 times the Lord said, Lazarus will rise again. And they didn't believe. And you know what? That made the Lord sad. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept because of their unbelief. You know, if we believed in prayer, we'd pray more. Hey, if we believed that God could truly change a life and turn lives around, we would pray for our relatives that are lost. We would pray for those who are backslidden. Hey, if we believed that God could save souls and really grow this church and change the world, hey, we'd go out soul winning. Hey, if we believe that God could take a young person from a rough home with no dad and use them for God, hey, we'd build a bus ministry. We'd see even more people come. If we believed. But Jesus is amazed at our unbelief. You know, if I came into this room, I came into the sanctuary, I ran in the back door and I said, folks, there's a fire in the building. We need to get out now. The fire is spreading. It's not in here yet, but it's coming this way. We need to exit the building right now. And you just sat there and didn't move. I said, folks, I'm dead. I'm not lying to you. I promise there's a fire in the building and it's coming this way. We need to exit now or we're going to perish. We need to get out. And we just sat here and didn't move. I said, folks, I'm pleading with you. Please, I want you to live a good life. I want you to live the rest of your life. Please, exit the room. The building is on fire. And then the smoke began to come in the back doors and you still just sat there. That would be crazy. But you would perish because you didn't believe. You didn't believe. And all the warnings that I had given wouldn't have meant anything because you didn't believe. You know, the Bible has a lot of warnings in it that I believe sometimes, even in my own life, I don't heed the warning as I should. Hey, I know the verses, but do I really believe what they're saying sometimes? Hey, do I believe that the wages of sin is death? If I believed that as much as I should, I'd be trying to tell everybody I know that there's a God who loves and wants to save them. The Bible says that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Bible. And it's true. And I need to believe it. And we need to believe what the Bible says. We need to truly believe it. Not just believe it, but act on it. The Bible says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. That's a command. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If we truly believe that, we would do as much as we could to serve God and do His work. The Bible is full of warnings. But we don't believe as much as we should. And Jesus is amazed at our unbelief. All that the Lord's done for us in our lives, and we don't believe Him. But the problem is that we don't believe God can use us. We don't believe that God can save our mom or our dad, or we don't believe that God can change our kids' lives. We just don't believe. It just seems so far-fetched. But the truth of the matter is that God can. And we need to believe. We need to believe. He was amazed at their unbelief. Maybe the reason that we've never amazed Jesus, maybe the reason it's been a long time since you've amazed Jesus, is because you've never been amazed by Him. You know what it says in Matthew chapter 9, just the chapter right after our text. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 5, it says this. For whether it is easier to say, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Jesus had just performed a wonderful miracle. He had taken this lame man, had saved him, had sent him on his way, gave him the ability to walk again. What an amazing thing. And look at what it says in verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They were amazed at what Jesus was doing. And let me ask you, are you amazed at what the Lord does each and every week in this church house? Are you amazed at what the Lord does in your life? The fact that you can wake up and have another day to live for God and to do what He wants you to do, that's amazing. We have every reason to be amazed by Jesus. And when we start getting amazed by Jesus, we can start amazing Him with our faith and with our thankfulness. Hey, our faith amazes Jesus. Hey, our thankfulness amazes Jesus. In some cases, our unbelief even amazes Jesus. Folks, today, let's start amazing Jesus with the right things. Let's start amazing Jesus. From this point on, amazing Jesus with our lives. Man, have you been amazing Jesus with your soul winning, or even as teenagers, honoring your parents, obeying your parents? That amazes Jesus too. You know that being kind and loving to people is amazing to the Lord too. Have you amazed Jesus with those things? Because Jesus is not amazed with the things of this world. Hey, the Lord doesn't care how much money we have. He's not amazed by those things. He's not amazed at the position we hold at our job, or He's not amazed at how good we are at basketball or at sports or how beautiful we are. The Lord is not amazed with those things. He's amazed with the things that truly matter. Our faith and our thankfulness. Hey folks, let's start amazing Jesus. Lord, we love You. We thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. Lord, I ask You to bless the rest of this day and Your will be done in our lives. We love You so much. Your precious name, amen.
Donald, I'd like to ask one last time for anybody that is willing and able to come have a silent time of prayer at the altar, and then we'll commence with our question and answer time. So anybody that is willing and able that can, if you're able to come to the altar, you'd like to come to the altar, just a silent time of prayer for this youth pastor candidate.